Tour de France. Richard boots on it as Cadel Evans of Australia makes history today.
G'day, Detour family. How are you? So, look, sorry, we've been a week and a half since the last show, which is a terrible, terrible story. But Dan's been under the pump with getting back from the Tour de France, and he gets so busy. He's that busy, he can't even join us tonight. How's that? I'm pretty disappointed, actually.
But
Scotty, we've got you jumping on board, which is fantastic. Dan, I can't give him too much cheek because you'll cut me off because he is pushing the buttons. I'll give you that. But he's under the pump with a big documentary he's doing. And not that we're not important, but he's got some new people starting and he's very busy. So, but we've got a great show tonight. We are talking to two of the young legends of cycling. Scotty, you're one of the older ones, and I'm a much older one. We've got Luke Platt, who is about to embark on one of his biggest challenges, which is exciting. We'll talk to you about that in a minute. And his best mate, call him a best mate, Georgia Baker, just back from an amazing three gold medals at the Comm Games. So let's not wait. Let's bring them straight in.
Gentlemen, how are we?
Hey, Luke,
g'day,
Georgia, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Now, I thought, thanks so much for coming on, guys. And normally it's much more professional with Dan Jones being the host, but you've stuck with me this time. But we'll survive. We will survive. But
don't throw me under your bus, Johnny, in terms of lack of professionalism.
No, but I mean, I can't ask you to come on as a guest and then host the show. So I'll have to do that. But we'll have some fun. Now, I will start with you, Luke, because I'm heading off with my mate Vazzy in 2 days, and we're heading over to the Vuelta, and we're going to be hands-on doing all the SBS interviews. So I hear a whisper that you'll be heading up to Utrecht yourself, maybe even today.
Yeah, look, I haven't packed my suitcase yet. We leave for the airport in a few hours. I'll see you up there, and then we'll do a lap of Spain after a couple of days, mate. But you must be getting there, what, just as we start, no?
I get there. We leave on Wednesday morning. We get there on Thursday morning in time to get to the team presentations, which are Thursday afternoon and evening. So I'll see you there.
Triple T is the best way to start a tour, isn't it? Like, that's going to be
interesting.
In the races a lot more.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it?
They do them on bike paths and on dirt as well. Triple T's on bike paths.
They've done all that. For those who don't know what a Triple T is, it's the team time trial, which is they've done it a few times in starts of Giros and Tour de France's. And I know that when I was there on the Giro, when Green Edge won the team time trial to take the first pink jersey, it'd be 5 years ago, I guess, now. So what do you think is going to be your first Grand Tour, Luke? What are you thinking?
Oh, not get my head kicked in and try last the whole 3 weeks, I reckon. Look, mate, we got a bloody strong team. So I'll just be there for support and throw my weight around in the lead outs, I think, with Ethan. But yeah, to be honest, I just want to get through the 3 weeks of I've struggled enough in 1 week races and getting fatigued in them. So I think 3 weeks would be a big step up. But yeah, if I can get through it, that'd be a big achievement. And look, we haven't won a Grand Tour yet this year. That's the facts of it. So definitely the team are going there to win a Grand Tour. That's what we're trying to achieve. And I think that's what we go in every year trying to win.
What's the conversation with your bosses with those things that you just said in mind about your expectations, 3 week race, you know, the third week, obviously super tough to get to that point. What have the bosses said to you about how to approach this?
Yeah, it was, well, the big boss said, just go there and get your head kicked in and just learn. I think they just want to throw me in the deep end and get me ready for the next years to come. But yeah, obviously I think the parkour suits me quite well with the Triple T. The first couple of weeks are actually like punchy punchy climbs at the end, and hopefully I can offer something for Ethan there. And then, yeah, look, we'll see how I go breathing through a straw at 2,800 metres in the third week. That'd be pretty tough, I reckon. But no, so I think it's just there for experience, mate. And if I can last for 3 weeks, that'd be unreal. And then head over to Australia as soon as that finishes.
Mm-hmm. And what about Georgia? We can talk a little bit about the Vuelta later. But what about you? Yeah. What's your race plan now after what was an incredible Commonwealth Games and those three gold medals? What's next?
Yeah, thank you. For me, I actually had a week off just recently with my family, and now I'm just getting back into training, and I've got the Holland Simac Ladies Tour coming up early September. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, I can make the World Championship team, but at Road Worlds at our home, championships would be amazing. And then, yeah, with our team, with Bike Exchange, I don't actually have the rest of my roster yet, so I'll do Track Worlds, hopefully, in October, and then a couple of one-day races as well.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll get the notice that you'll be if you're riding in the Worlds or not this week, evidently. I see that Thursday is the day they let all the riders know. I know there's a few nervous people around about that. But, Scotty, you just reach over to what's coming, but let's go back a week or two to those Comm Games, because George, we haven't had a chance to talk to you yet. We tried to talk to you a week or so ago, but Plappy gave me the flick, but that's fine. But seriously, you know, three gold medals, it's just something we dream of. I've only got one bronze medal from the Comm Games. I've got no idea what it'd be like to get
me and you both.
That three. Yeah, exactly. But so, Georgia, let's go back to it. So take us through, firstly, the team's pursuit, because Scotty was up broadcasting on Channel 7 every night, so he knows all about it. But just tell us those thoughts of the team's pursuit and that great time that you did.
Yeah, so for me, the team's pursuit, I didn't really know how it would go, to be honest. I'd only come into the team. It was a really fresh team. A lot of girls I hadn't raced with before, and for majority of the team, it was their first real big international competition as well. So, you know, everyone was really excited, but it was a good vibe and good energy within the group. So we weren't sure. We had a bit of a target time of a 4:11 going in, thinking that we could do that in our final ride. So with everything going to plan, I think that we definitely could have done that. But the girls executed such a good team ride. And, yeah, we just went out there and put up a really good time. And hopefully this year at the Paris World Championships on the track, we can go out there and show them what else we can do and make some improvements as well.
The points race, you didn't score any points in the first couple of sprints, which made Kate Bates very nervous in commentary. You know, she's a double gold medalist from the points race. I think she's the only female to win back-to-back points races. And she said, typically, in the first couple of sprints, the winner gets some points, and you didn't, yet you dominated towards the end. So what were your thoughts and your tactics and how that played out?
Yeah, to be honest, I'd done a little bit of revision from the last Commonwealth Games where we kind of stuffed it up royally, I would say. And I knew that it's a very different point score to that I've ever raced, and the Commonwealth Games are typically raced really differently. We've got there's three of us in there, so teamwork's really important. So the racing can be typically harder as well because everyone else has teammates, so there's a lot, it's quite aggressive, a lot of lead outs into sprints. So for me, I was thinking I need to just really relax the first couple of sprints. I would just try and sit in good wheels, sit up there, but don't stress, just kind of, you know, see how the race is panning out. I knew that probably the back half, I would be the strongest given my road background this year. I've had, a big aerobic base coming into this Commonwealth Games, so I backed my fitness. I just kind of wanted to race also a little bit off instinct and how I felt out there. And we had a really good team plan, actually. So we had Chloe Moran and myself. She was up there to also get some minor points early on. So we didn't want to give away to the other countries and other nations who we were actually working for, because then they can just target everything you do and follow you around.
Yeah.
And Maeve was just going to be in there to really, you know, put everyone under pressure as well, if we wanted a lap to go or if we needed some help with the lead outs. So I think it just worked out perfectly, really. Like, I just felt like I could race, and because I had the legs, I could actually do what I wanted to do, which is sometimes rare in a race.
Before we get on to the road races, Plappy, I just thought I'd talk to you for a second about the team's pursuit. So it wouldn't have gone exactly as you wished, but you must be fairly happy with the outcome.
Yeah, oh, quickly, mate. I knew George was going to win every sprint because the 2 weeks leading into the race, we did bunch sessions together, and Glenn O'Shea was on the motorbike with us, like doing like simulating sprints every 10 laps. And yeah, I didn't beat her in one sprint, which is a bit of shit. I even hit out with 3 laps to go in one sprint. She hunted me down, but I reckon Glenn might have given her a little toe there.
Yeah, and a few hooks behind you as well. Just
but
That's sensational.
Look, it was interesting not lining up with Sam or Callum, the team. It was really interesting not being with Sam or Cal in the team's position.
Yeah,
like that
yeah.
was the first time that I've rode without them. And as well for the other boys, yeah, like George said, you could really tell that was their first big comp. I think for me, like coming off the games, it was something I didn't really expect, like how relaxed I'd feel. But yeah, look, the goal for the lads was to try to break 350. They haven't done that before as a team. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. But look, the Kiwis were pretty strong. And yeah, I think as a team, it was a pretty good ride. But yeah, looking towards what Worlds and Paris coming up, I think when you add Sam Cal back into that lineup, and I think there's even a few other guys that we should be looking at to try slot into that team, because there's a fair bit of talent going around now, and I think the guys coming off the road showing that they can mix into that. So yeah, there's definitely a few names in my head that I think might slot into that team very nicely in the next couple of years that aren't necessarily in the program now.
Now we're getting a couple of live comments coming through. So here's one from Andy Matthews. Great to hear from Luke and hear that he's riding the Vuelta. Good luck, mate. And Wendy, of course, Wendy Abbott, the superstar, super fan. Hi, John and Scott. Hi, Luke and Georgia. Congrats to both. Good luck, Luke. There you go. Jan Boardman, watch so much ladies' races at the Tour of France. Femmes, loving it. The more I watch, the more I'm getting into it. The legacy of the Tour de France Femmes is great. And I've got to say, it was bloody brilliant. And it's changed a lot. And this would be great for you to hear, Georgia, and see. But I thought the women's road cycling has really, you know, improved over the last couple of years in the way it's been accepted. The television coverage is getting better. But the Tour de France Femmes was another step completely. And to see those huge crowds, fantastic racing, and the way that everyone just got behind it, it was just, actually inspiring.
Yeah, definitely. It was amazing to watch. We were at our training camp in Newport, and in between sessions, just like tuning into GCN to watch it. And my best friend and housemate, Alex Manley, rode it. And she said it was just so cool, the energy. And it was just so big. And she didn't quite believe that it could possibly be like that. So, yeah, very good for women's sport and women's cycling in particular.
Unlucky for you guys, you had to watch it on GCN. Of course, back here in Australia, we could watch it on SBS, which, of course, is the best station to watch it on. But that was fantastic. Now, let's just get to the road races. And we'll start with the big one. So, yeah, obviously, the tactics at the start, was it always you, Georgia, was going to be the P, as we say, for this race?
No, actually, not necessarily. Going into the Commonwealth Games, we had a lot of meetings prior, a couple months out, actually, talking about this particular road race and the course. And the finish was actually a lot different than we thought. Originally, it was meant to be a sharp right-hand turn over the bridge and then finish just on the other side of the bridge. So the corner was about 150 metres to go before the finish line. So the race was going to be quite different for us, and we're actually leading out Alex Manley for that sprint because it was uphill and a really fast finish. Uphill would suit her better. And we're going to race it a little bit differently, like a little bit more aggressively. But then we found out, we saw the finish. We got there 2 days before and rode the course, and the finish was dead straight and a little bit downhill. So we went back and had another meeting and kind of spoke about it and thought that the sprint would probably suit me better, given that it was downhill and a really fast lead-in. and we wanted to back in our sprint and race it like that. So, yeah, things did change a little bit.
Hey, what did you think about the criticism that I think was the English put towards you guys as a team? Basically, they were upset that you did what you needed to do to win the race. That's the way I saw it. You know, because you rode a protective race to set it up for a bunch sprint, and they were cracking the sads about that. What was your response to that?
Yeah, well, I just think like they probably didn't. I thought it was a very aggressive race, and for those that commented and said it was boring, I didn't think they probably viewed it or watched it. And it was super aggressive all the time, and I just think that, you know, we had really good team tactic and it paid off. And yeah, I wouldn't really change anything. And yeah, it definitely wasn't a boring race. There were a lot of breaks when we just happened to be in them. And yeah, a few stayed away for a little bit, but then it just came back to a bunch finish and we were just had our lead out dialed. And that just goes to show that, yeah, we put in a lot of effort and a lot of planning into that one as well.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things, and as a commentator, I understand that we just need to normalise the conversation between men's and women's racing. And there were comments about the women's race not being as exciting as they would have liked. But Mark Cavendish won a world title. The British team shut everything down for the entire race and then let it out for the finish. And no one said it was a boring race. They just thought, oh, Cavendish was a worthy world champion. And I think it doesn't make any sense that we look at and treat things differently. You know, I think you guys did an incredible race. There were attacks. All the other teams knew they had to attack you guys to get an advantage over your sprint. And they tried. They did try that. And you were good enough to shut it all down, bring it back to a sprint. So kudos to the Australians and yourself for doing the job that you needed to do to give yourself the best advantage. That's not to be criticised. And I don't understand why people criticise the women's race differently to a men's race with the same tactics.
Yeah, and I agree. And also, like, we had plans. It wasn't always, you know, we just had a really thorough plan and well thought out plan that, you know, if a breakaway went away with the perfect combination and we had ratios of the breakaway, we had everything kind of dialed. We knew we didn't have team radios, but we were so dialed that we knew what we wanted to go up the road, what we could stay, who was in it, what was happening, who you wanted in the break. And so if a breakaway did go away and that was the right combination, then we weren't against that either. So it's just the way the racing went.
Yeah, and you happened to just snaffle a gold and a bronze medal in it, so you did definitely badly. Now we're going to go straight to a break and hear from our wonderful sponsors of Bike Exchange, and I'll turn. That's Dara calling from Italy. Should turn that
that's,
off. Sorry about
is
that.
Is it Dara? Right, and it's my job now with Dan not here to criticise you for once again having your phone on during the podcast.
Oh, well.
You can't put yourself in the sin bin, though.
What can you expect? But we'll go to the ad, and then Plappy will find out what in the bloody hell happened in the time trial and also about your great ride in the road race. So here's to our great sponsors at Bike Exchange.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at this guy, this girl, them, all looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs, semi-amateurs, and pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank and these bars. This could be the perfect match. But not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Yeah, what a great ad. It's just a great ad. And if you're after a bike or any part for a bike, just get on to bikeexchange.com.au and they will source it for you. It's somewhere near you. They're fantastic.
And Georgia likes that ad more than Luke does, because she rides for the team that's sponsored by them and Luke doesn't.
Well, that was it. That was his decision. That was his decision. Yeah. We tried to get him, but well, that's another story. For
blame Richie Port.
Yeah, whatever. But so, firstly, Luke, you know, I was fixed to the TV watching the time trial. And we were on a bit earlier, so I didn't fall asleep like I did later on. But yeah, I knew you were on a good ride. Then you had the trouble. So what actually happened there? Because it didn't actually show. It showed you off the side of the road trying to get the chain back on the bike.
Yeah, I was on a pretty good one, but yeah, it was a brand new bike that I received the night before, like the brand new Pinarello bike from the team, and that was trying to, I guess the risk was trying to ride it to get a few rides in before the Vuelta, so that was sort of why it was sort of looking at the bigger picture to ride that, but also it was a lot quicker bike, like the everything to do with it was a lot faster, so I was pretty keen to run it. But yeah, and the chain dropped off. It wrapped around the bottom bracket a few times, and I spent too long trying to get the chain out, just because it was a quicker bike and I wanted to get back on it, and it had some custom handlebars on it, so I was pretty keen to jump on it. But yeah, I couldn't get the chain out, so we swapped bikes in the end, and it cost me a long time, and then hopped on a slower bike as well. So yeah, it wasn't I guess your head drops as well, doesn't it? Like when you got some guys like that in the field with Rowan and Gene, I think that was really impressive with what G did as well. Like he crashed in the first K and held on and rode a great ride, which is pretty remarkable. But yeah, I knew I was out of it. Like for me to go close to those guys, I need to have a perfect ride and some more. So yeah, I knew I was out of it, out of the medals and out of the win. So yeah, sort of just got to the line and groveled in the end.
And just before I know you'll have some questions about that, Scotty, but one of the issues that came up after TT was that you guys didn't get much of a chance to actually ride on the course because those roads were busy roads and with one-way streets and all of that, so you couldn't actually do a recon.
Yeah, it was stupid, to be honest, mate. There was no closed roads for recon. Like, what they said was closed roads was a walk-in police escort with every guy and girl at the same time. You couldn't see the course and you had 60 other people around you. And I think maybe that would be all right if it was a pretty straightforward course. But, yeah, there's the road surface was terrible and there was a lot of corners in that sort of time trial. I don't think it was pretty acceptable, to be honest with you. There was no closed recon and you couldn't do the course at speed or corners at speed at all. And I think, quite a few people, as you saw in the coverage, probably either crashed, had problems. There was a lot more chains that came off as well. Like the road service wasn't brilliant for that either.
Yeah.
Mm. I actually know the guy that designed the course, Martin Bridgewood, and we just had some comments back and forth just over these last couple of days, actually. And, you know, he was talking about how challenging it was and how proud they were of being able to put the course on that circuit because there's normally so much traffic and it's such a heavily built up area. And in commentary, Phil Liggett said that several times in both time trial and road races, how he was surprised that they were able to just close those roads because normally it's, you know, there's so much traffic on them. So I can understand from an event promoter's perspective, they've tried to make it as spectacular and close to the host city as possible. But there's these other things to consider, isn't it? Because, you know, look, it would have only taken one of your riders to crash because of an unsighted corner and break a leg and the season's over, or break a collarbone and the season's over. So I guess it's that balance, isn't it? Trying to put something on that's spectacular, close to the host city, but could be maybe too dangerous or impractical for what you're used to.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's probably not going to be too dissimilar to what we've got going on in September as well. Like that's sort of how I viewed the course. It was a lot very technical and a few corners like we've probably got coming up as well, rather than maybe showcasing the amazing beach on Wollongong. But yeah, we'll see how we go with that in a few weeks' time.
Well, I was in Wollongong a couple of weeks ago and I did a recon of the actual loop that you're doing in the road race, but I didn't get a chance to do the
No, that's the same loop with you. It's the same.
Oh, wow. Well.
We do that.
Oh, you got the climb and everything? Really?
Not the climb. They take out the climb, but everything else is identical. And we do two laps
of it. Okay, so it's very... gee, it's a lot of cornering. Not really, yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, well, I know it. Yeah. Exciting.
How many time trials in the Vuelta are you going to get to ride that special new bike? You'll have one practice by then.
Triple T and then the individual.
All right. So 2 days on it before you race again.
I think I land with 3 days to go before the time trial in Worlds.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's right. We finish on the Sunday. I know that I get back on the Thursday, which I'm in trouble because it's the day after my wife's birthday, and I'm home for 1 day and then straight up to Wollongong. So,
you in trouble, John? That's just stock standard.
And I missed my daughter's 50th, showing my age. But she said, "Well, you weren't there when I was born, Dad. So what's it matter?" So there you go.
Hey, Luke, on the road race, getting into the break, you know, obviously it was a challenge with Caleb. Not being able to go there, which, you know, I think from everyone's perspective, that was disappointing the way that was handled. But then with Rowan, since I stopped working on that last day, I haven't actually heard or investigated as to what happened to Rowan himself. So what was the problem with Rowan, why he couldn't start the road race at the Commonwealth Games?
He got real crook over for a couple of nights there, and I think was in a hospital for a bit. And they're not actually sure what happens, but it was pretty bad. But yeah, they said, look, they didn't know what was wrong. And I think in the end, it may have been he really overexerted himself maybe in the TT or not sure what it was. I've seen him riding around here in Girona lately. So I think he's all right. I'm not sure if he's lining up for the Vuelta or not either. But yeah, I'm not sure what happened. But yeah, I think it was just precautions as well for the roadie, but he was definitely really crook in the lead up to it. Like you said, it was a bit annoying. Like, well, we went into the race with three sprinters, and I think maybe some people worried there was too many cooks in the kitchen, or it was still going to be exciting. But yeah, we went in with three and started with none.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but hey, you guys made an entertaining race of it. And the race itself, you know, in commentary, you know, I said the first sort of 60Ks were like a crit slash Kermes. Until the break got established, and then you were the one that started the attacks at the end. I think 49 k's to go from memory, so a fantastic finish as well.
It was a, like a crit and Kermes at the start. Like, I had my peak heart rate for 69 minutes just because of the start of that race, and I probably a bit of that was down to just being scared in the bunch with a couple of those countries that I didn't trust. That was a bit hairy, and I think everyone was pretty keen to get up the road just to be a bit safer.
It's the Comm Games, mate. That's the Comm Games.
Yeah. So that was probably why my heart rate was pinging. I was a bit scared riding next to some of those guys. But yeah, it was ridiculously hard at the start, and I think without a sprinter, we had to try get up the road. Would have been nice to have a couple more guys there. But yeah, Zach Dempster, the DS for the Aussies now, he was like, well, probably can't take anyone to the line because they're quicker than you. And he wanted, the goal was to try to start the final before others thought the final had started. So yeah, we're trying to get up the road a bit earlier, and I was trying to go with an English, but they weren't too keen on that, and they thought they should take it to a sprint. But I don't think they watched the track the week before, because I wouldn't have taken it to a sprint with Gady there either.
No, he was always going to be the favorite if it came down to it. Yeah, for sure. And what about you and G though? Because G, you know, two guys from the same pro team. And there were a few times when you were trying to just politely miss a turn or two. What was the conversation like in that breakaway, and how, what's the dynamic when you've got a guy that's obviously well respected and third in the Tour de France only a week or so before that, or 2 weeks before? You know, what sort of conversation was going on?
Yeah, it was funny actually. There was only Luke Rowe missed the break from our team. We had four of us up there. I think when I was trying to sit at the back and do nothing, G was getting a bit frustrated and wanted me to help bring a break back. But at the end of the day, in Melbourne in 2026, I'll probably be bringing a lot more breaks back than they will as well, because I'd be wanting to win in my home country. I think he was just getting a bit panicked and trying to see if he'd work with me a bit. Look, at the end of the day, that situation didn't suit me or him, did it? We were never going to be able to win from there unless we were solo. He was just trying to get me to help him bring it back a bit. And have some fun at the end, and I thought I'd just get one back on him and chase him down at the finish so he couldn't win.
Was he using polite language?
What was that?
Was he using polite language? So, excuse me, Luke, could you please come up and help me work at the front? Or was it a bit more aggressive?
Something along those lines. There might have been a few as well.
Now, how much extra pressure came on to you with Georgia taking out the women's race? Extra pressure, mate.
It started a week before on the track as well when she won the points race tonight's race the next day. I messaged Cam Meyer actually before my points race and asked for some help and some tips. Obviously, he's probably the best we've ever had. And he started giving me some tips and then he replied, oh, how about you just ask your girlfriend? She looks like she wrote a pretty good one just then. so I walked away with one bronze and did the three-time Com Games champ.
Exactly. Now, looks like we'll have about a dozen Aussies in the Vuelta, although the names haven't been released as yet. I just got a little news flash from the sheriff, actually, saying that that Jack definitely won't be starting. So Jack Haig, as his season's been done and dusted, he had another operation and had to get the screws and all that out, so he definitely won't be there, which is a real shame. But so we've got another message here. So Jason Cruz has asked, tips for the world to win. Jay Yatesy Karabaz. So I suppose if he's asking me, I'd say Yatesy, but you'd be saying Karabaz, I reckon, Plappy.
Yeah, I think we could have some other cars as well as Karabaz in our team. I think we've got a few leaders going in, and I'm not sure which way it'll go there. Is he saying Jay Vine or Jai Hindley? Is that who? I'm not sure who he's referring to then.
Yeah, well, I think he might have meant Jai, because I don't think Jay Vine's going to be in the GC, although I see he's on the start list at this stage.
Yeah, so, Dad actually asked the question the other day. Do you reckon it's the Grand Tour with the most Aussies ever starting? I wonder if that's a stat we can find out.
It could be close. We'll look into that one, because look, at this stage, I think it could be a dozen. I had 13 down, but definitely no Jack. But you know, with some really some informed riders, Ben O'Connor, with Jai, those guys that are going to be up the pointy end. So yeah, I think it's going to be something pretty special.
Yeah,
and I know the Green Edge. I keep calling it Green Edge. By exchange, Jack, I've got six Aussies in their lineup, which is great. Caden Groves will be in there with a bit of a chance, some stages too, I would think, because he's sprinting pretty well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a ripper. I just can't wait to get on that plane.
Yeah, I think me and Cal are looking forward to that Triple T as well. Just getting the Teams Pursuit boys against each other again. See who's got the best splits. There's a heap of Aussies there, and I think it's exciting from the outside. From a different team as well, to see that Aussies are a chance to win the race too, which is super cool to see. But yeah, it'd be definitely when the break's up the road and we let them win the stage, it'd be nice to just find a few Aussies and have a chat too for a couple hours.
Hey, you mentioned the other track guys, Sam and Kel. What's the conversation been between you and Dave Brailsford about your track ambitions with Paris only a couple of years away? What has that been conversation? Obviously, it's challenging for some of the pro teams to let their trackies have track time. And we saw yesterday Ilya Viviani finished seventh in the European Road Race Championship, and then that night went and won the European elimination on the track. Mm. It's a pretty stacked day for him. But so what's your chats with Brailsford been about when it comes to track and your ambitions?
Yeah, I think it helps, and they're pretty good with, like you've seen, Garner and Viviani, and those guys have sort of shown that it works, as well as in the past. You had Cavan and G and that. So they're fully on board with it. And it's more making sure we tick the things off along the way for the Olympics. So it's not don't commit fully for a Worlds or a World Cup, but do what you've got to do to qualify for the Games. And then 2024, yeah, whatever it takes, basically. They understand for me that, yeah, the track and Olympic gold's probably the number one focus in my career at the moment. So they're all on board with that. And there's a few guys in the same boat. Like, I think me and Ethan have been at almost every road race and track race together this year. He's in the same boat with me at the moment. And Viviani and Garner all want to go again. And I think that's probably the benefit that me and Georgia both have, is we're at teams that are willing to support that, whether I know it's harder at some other teams. And, yeah, that's sort of where it came down to.
Well, Georgia, what about you? You've first year as a pro in Europe, And it's been amazing. It's been a sensational. So you must have this great vibe about what you're not just going to do on the track in the future and continue doing, but just your road career in the next couple of years.
Yeah, like you said, it's been really exciting and it's a nice change as well for my career. Like, I've been on the track for so many years now. So it's nice just to switch things up and go onto the road. But yeah, I feel like I'm just kind of finding my feet. And I've said so many times this year, like, I finished a race and I would like make a mistake and I'll be like, oh, I just want to go back and do it again or race it again. And luckily I get that opportunity next year. Like, I feel like I just want to start again. And I know that having a year of professional racing in my legs now will help me for next year. And just knowing the courses and have raced everything once before, I feel like next year is really exciting for me. But yeah, definitely the same as Luke here, like all in for the Olympics as well and moving forward. And yeah, hopefully we can do that on both the track and the road.
Now, Johnny, this is, I'll segue into you here because, George, you're talking about having the opportunity to go back and do things again. You know that John's nickname is Iffy because if he did this differently, he would have won. If that didn't happen, he would have won. He had so many stories from back in the day of, oh, if I didn't get a puncher or if I had a bigger gear, or he would have won those races. So that's you may be the next Iffy.
We won't throw that on you. But I can remember when you first looked about to start on your pro career, when you joined Orica Green Edge, as it was back then, and you were starting to do a few road races, but you had some issues. I remember you had some serious little challenges with your heart. But that obviously has all been sorted.
Yep, all sorted now. Yeah, I had SVT with my heart, so just a little bit out of rhythm. I had to go back to Australia, get that sorted, and yeah, all good now.
Work on your dance moves, you're back in rhythm, it's all good.
Yeah, back exactly. In
so I don't know when you guys will get the announcement this week, I suppose, on Wollongong Worlds. What would you expect to be riding Georgia at the Worlds? Just the road race?
No, I'd love to race more. The team time trial really appeals to me. I think we've got a really strong team, and obviously racing any event at a home world championships is pretty special. But that one in particular, I think, suits me and just the type of rider I am, the punchier corners, unlike Luke here. I don't mind the corners. So, that does suit my track background as well. And also just the time trial in general. I think those two are the ones that I'll be targeting the most. I'd love to race the road circuit as well in the road race, but I think I'd have more of a domestique role in that one, just given the challenge of that course.
Now, I tried to help Luke out with that cornering. You know, he had him all lined up to do the Bay Crits, which would have been the perfect race for him to practice all that. But then he COVIDed out on me, or the pair of you did, actually. you gave it to him or whatever. You were stuck in Tassie. Anyway, he didn't ride. But that leads into no better way to finish the show. Let's talk about the Bay Crits 2023. They'll be on January 1, 2, and 3. Back to three.
Really? New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Yeah, the first, second, and third.
I heard you were trying to move road nuts, just fit your Bay Crits in.
Yeah, we tried to move that, but I think they're still we're buggered with that. But it might be a bit hard for you and the TT, mate. But, George, we want you there. We're going to have a full women's team, Bike Exchange Joko team there, so we really want you on the start line. So just get my little ad in for the Bay Crits.
Yep, I'll be there.
That's a big ad. That's a big ad, John.
Put a pitch towards the Ineos team and see if you can get us down as well, mate.
All right, I'll work on that. I'll give Dave.
Put the trackies together. Garner, Hayter, Viviana, Platt.
Yeah, well, we'll already. G. A lot of us will be there for TDU anyway. So see if you can fly us out a week early or a few days earlier.
I don't know. Dave's scared of spiders and snakes, so I don't think he'll even come over. He's petrified of spiders. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
But hey, look, quick unannounced to both of you. Matt Wells, for anyone that watched the Commonwealth Games, they remember the crash that took Matt Wells over the fence and into the crowd. Have you heard an update? I heard that it wasn't too bad, but what was his condition afterwards? Because obviously we were commentating from Sydney, so it was hard to find anything out.
He was at the hotel that night with us and breakfast the next morning, just hobbling around and had a couple cuts. But no, I don't think there was anything actually. I'm guessing here, but by looking at him and having him at brekkie, I think he was all okay.
He had some soft bodies to land on when he went over into the crowd. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, the Canadian, I think, was the worst off. He got his hands caught in between the railing and the track and snapped. I'm not sure, but yeah, it'd be interesting what they do with the regulations and the track, and I'm sure they're going to make something change.
Well, look, I just want to thank you guys heaps for coming on. I know it's been holiday time for you, Georgia, a little break with the family, which is great, and preparation time for you, Lukey, with Vuelta. So really look forward. I'll catch you on Thursday. But thanks heaps, guys. It's been fantastic. And Scotty, as always, you're a legend, and thanks for stepping in for Dan, who, you know,
thanks, man. I just put that in the comments. I just put it in the comments. Can you just say that I'm a legend? So thanks, John, for saying that. Hey, yeah, look, really proud of both you guys. You did an amazing job this year and big career to come. So thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, guys. You can come bug me. Come bug me at the team bus.
I will do. Now, I don't know. Well, with the whole COVID bubble and that, I'm not sure how that all will work, but I'll be at the start and finish every day. Now, I'd like to thank all of our Detour family. Don't forget to jump on board, and there's the youtube.com/thedetourpodcast. Register with it because it all helps. But we'll talk to you next week as soon as I get to into Utrecht. We'll be doing a podcast that night.
Beautiful.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Thank you.